Welcome to another Step in the Journey podcast, where we explore 2,000 years of church tradition and how to defend it. We invite your blessings, questions, comments, and even a few cries of outrage by emailing us here at editorial@alwaystowardthelight.com. And now, here is your host, John Henry. He's just like the racehorse, but just not as fast.
Hello, this is John Henry with Always Toward the Light. And this is another step in the journey where we explore 2,000 years of church tradition and how to defend it. In this episode, we're going to clean up our understanding of purgatory so that we can explain what purgatory is, what it is not, and most importantly, what the church actually does teach about it. I've listened to Protestants argue to the point where they almost burst into flames against the idea of purgatory. Well, I've also read Catholic articles and books that paint a portrait of purgatory that would make your skin catch fire, so to speak. So, what is purgatory? Where is it? Where is it in the Bible? And does everyone have to go? I want to start with this statement, one that most Protestants will assuredly disagree with. However, I'm going to do it anyway because making Protestants mad is my goal. No, I'm just kidding. But all sarcasm aside, my comment is still bold because I believe I can prove it. So here it is. Protestants believe in purgatory. Let me say that again. This time I'm going to add, all Protestants believe in purgatory. Now you're probably wondering how I can make such a claim. So here it is. Protestants don't have a problem with Scripture, but they do have a problem with purgatory because they say it's not in the Bible. But I challenge that line of thinking by saying this. Purgatory is in Scripture. But it is not always described as many of us lay folk would have described it. More times than not, we read things that cause us, Catholics included, to come away with this idea that purgatory is a place where we are punished by fire for past sins for X number of years until we have paid the price for those sins and or until people on earth have prayed for us to be released from there. No wonder Protestants that I've spoken with, at least, have this idea that purgatory is a place of torment and suffering, and that some people might not even escape it at all. Some believe that it's a middle stop between heaven and hell. Some think that we are going to be burned alive for a long, long time, and perhaps still go to hell. They, Protestants that is, insist that Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and therefore, those who die in grace are instantly purified and go straight to heaven. So, I tend to think that Protestants have a reasonable rejection to this place called purgatory. And they are correct about almost everything I just mentioned, except for one thing, that purgatory doesn't exist. Why? Because it does. They might be right about everything else, except for their insistence that it doesn't exist at all. Here's why. Protestants can rightfully object some of the allusions to purgatory that they've heard. Why? Because purgatory is not a place. It's not punishment. It's not a middle stop between heaven and hell on an elevator. Nor is it a place of torment or something that can end with still being sent to hell. Correctly stated, purgatory is a process. It's a state of being. It's not a place. It's a state of being in which our souls, having been damaged by sin during the course of our lives, is repaired and healed by the love of God. Why? So that we can enter heaven unattached to our past mistakes, sins, bad habits, and attachments to selfish pleasures that have no place in heaven. It's a process of purification. And it's made possible by our redemption that was won for us by our Lord when he suffered and died on the cross. Scripture repeatedly refers to fires in the Old and New Testament as a source of purification. Are the fires of purgatory literal? I'm not personally sure about that. Could it be that the word fire is used to represent the kind of purging, the kind of purifying process that occurs in purgatory? I believe so. Is there burning? Well, if there is, it's a burning for love of God. And The pains we experience are from a deep yearning to be with our Lord forever. So this all sounds nice, but Protestants still say that none of this is in the Bible. Here's the Catholic counter to that. The book of Revelation, chapter 27, verse 21, tells us that nothing unclean will enter heaven. Well, this means that between dying as a sinful human being on earth and entering heaven, something has to happen. What happens is we're purified. But that happens instantaneously, Protestants will say, and so what? Maybe it does happen in an instant. Maybe it happens in an instant for Mother Teresa, but for me, more time is needed to repair the damage that sin has caused my soul over the years. The fact is, it happens. Die a sinner, rise in glory. In between, something happens. What happens is we're purified. For Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, says in chapter 3, verses 10 and following, according to the commission of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. End quote. So, where else are the quality of our works or how we lived our lives tested? Where else will our weaknesses or certain works be burned up and suffer loss? Where will we still receive a reward and still be saved, but only as through fire? Folks, we have here something that is quite compelling. The scripture doesn't apply the term purgatory, but it sure does describe a purification process through which fire reveals the quality of our works, where some works are burned up and others receive a reward. The Bible also says, and whoever says a word against the whoever says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. This verse in Scripture tells us plainly that some sins are forgiven in this life, but that there is occasion for sins to be forgiven also in the age to come, meaning after we die. Well, we're not going to be forgiven in hell because there is no further repentance there. And we are not going to be forgiven in heaven because we wouldn't be there if we had sins that hadn't already been forgiven. So what are we to make of this? Die a sinner with an unclean soul, enter heaven perfect and pure. Something happens in between, and this is what we call purgatory. Protestants believe in purgatory because they believe they die sinners. Forgiven, yes. Redeemed, yes, but they still die as imperfect people. If they go to heaven, then something happened to make them clean. That was purification. That is what we call purgatory. Protestants believe in purgatory because they believe that their souls will be transformed upon their deaths and be clean of any imperfections when they enter heaven. That is purgatory. We can debate what it looks like, feels like, how long it takes, etc., etc., but still, it's a state of being that we know happens. Protestants want to insist that it happens instantaneously, and they may be right. I'll explain what I mean as soon as we come back from this short break.
We invite you to become a regular member of AlwaysTowardTheLight.com and consider a monthly contribution that will help us continue bringing you the best Catholic resources outside the Vatican Library. Browse our site and listen to podcasts, read our blog articles, post a question or comment in our forums, watch our featured videos, connect with Catholic news, and become inspired. Tell your friends about us and visit us often.
Welcome back. So let's ask this question again. Is purgatory like some stop between heaven and hell on an elevator? Absolutely not. Think of it this way. Purgatory is heaven. Let me say that again. Purgatory is heaven because it's part of the heavenly realm. It's just not the fullness of heaven until that process of purification has been completed. Now, maybe for some people, the process is instantaneous. But in our human language, we can still measure something that happens instantaneously in time, can't we? It's like arriving at a party. The house is heaven. We've arrived. We're standing on the stoop, waiting to be let in. We are there. However, the party is in the backyard. We're there, but we have to go through the house first. And as we do, we first wipe our shoes on the mat so that we don't track dirt through the house. Here's one personal example I think might happen in purgatory. At least I hope it's this way. I haven't discussed this with the Pope or any bishop, so I have no idea if they would toss me to the wolves if they heard me say this. This is just my own thinking. And I'm interested in knowing what you think and what the church thinks too. But I think I might be onto something here. Trust me on this. Tell me what you think. I share this example only because I don't believe that it contradicts any Catholic doctrine or official teaching on this topic. So here it goes. When I was a junior in high school, I went on an exchange program to England for a semester. And each morning we had an assembly in the school's auditorium where, before classes started, the headmaster would make some announcements and we would sing Hail to the Queen. Well, one morning, just as the headmaster entered the auditorium, we all stood up as expected. And as I had done this, dozens of times already in the past, this one morning was different because as soon as I stood up, I collapsed. I blacked out. I fainted. I crashed to the floor. And as I was falling, I could hear the chairs around me crashing against each other. And there I was on the tile floor with people looking at me. Very embarrassing. But here's the thing. To me, the whole instance was as if it was happening in slow motion. To those around me, I crashed to the floor within, two quick seconds. But to me, it felt like it was all happening in slow motion, like a frame-by-frame type of experience. So maybe this is how purgatory is. Maybe it does occur in an instant. Maybe it does happen fast, instantaneously. Yet, for those going through it, maybe it's like slow motion. Maybe it's like slow motion until we get out of it what we need in order to be made pure and clean. Well, I can still hear some Protestants out there arguing with me. I feel their vibrations through the podcast. They still don't believe it. Not because it doesn't make sense, but sometimes some things just sound like a Catholic thing. And if Catholicism isn't well understood, then it can lead to rejection until some of these quirky doctrines are clarified. However, before we conclude, let's listen to what the church actually does teach about purgatory. And it's not going to say anything about being in an elevator stop between heaven and hell, or a place where one is punished for decades. In paragraph 1030 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it reads this, quote, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven." In my example earlier, remember the joy of the party in the backyard? Someone undergoing purification is coming through the front door and wiping his feet on the mat. Paragraph 1031 starts off by saying that the church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from punishment of the damned. Then it goes on to quote the same supporting verse from Matthew's gospel that I mentioned just a few moments ago. Well, this brings our discussion to a close for now, and I want to thank you for spending time with me. I can't see you, but I know you're there, and it's a blessing to be able to share matters of faith with you because truth matters. Please consider making a regular contribution to us if you're able. Your support helps us to continue bringing you the best Catholic resources and information outside the Vatican Library. In the meantime, may all of your hugs be a little tighter and last a little longer. This is John Henry with another step in the journey and always toward the light.com. God bless you.